Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tuesday scorecard, just a couple of fellas, just a little old school throwback episode. Shane Bacon alongside Patrick McDonald. No Johnson Wagner today. He is up north in Scotland playing a little bit of golf after the Scottish Open duties. So Patrick, it's just you and I. I mean, outside of this only being on YouTube and producer Josh popping in from time to time, this feels like last year.
I know, right at home. I'm sure we'll get into some controversial takes. I saw you all over the internet on Sunday spewing about Scottie Scheffler and the scorecard show there on Hoity Toity CBS. It was fun to watch that. And yeah, it's nice to get back to our roots a little bit.
You know, I do love, I mean, I'm all about like snippet stuff. It's the world we live in terms of sports media. It does make me laugh when you say Scottie's not playing as well as he was playing and people come at you about it. I mean, this is still the best.
You're an idiot, Shane.
He's still the best golfer in the world. He could still win this Open Championship, but he is simply not playing the level of golf we saw over the last few years. And Patrick, we'll start there with Scottie Scheffler, obviously going into this Open Championship, needing to win here, or he'll go the full calendar year without a major championship. You have been really on this as of late in terms of his proximity to the hole with the irons, considering, you know, the last few years, best iron player in the world.
And look, proximity isn't a perfect statistic. I feel like this day and age, Shane, there are so many statistics out there. You can pick one and you can pick the window that you want to use it from, and you can pretty much use it to forward any narrative you want. But I want to key in on the wedges in particular with Scheffler, especially 100 to 125 yards. I mean, he is 6 feet worse than he was in 2024 when he was at the peak of his powers, right? In 2025, still a fantastic season. You could say those numbers are a little hairy just because he was injured coming off that injury in the beginning of the year. And that, of course, includes that too. And so it just feels like to me, Shane, if we're looking at Scheffler as a whole, he's about a half stroke worse per round in terms of true strokes gained compared to 2025. Where are those two strokes over the course of a tournament coming? Where is he bleeding them to the field? It feels like to me, based on watching him, based on the eye test, is those wedge chances, there might be one or two around that seemed like full on green light. He's speeding through the intersection. And now this year, they're turning into scrambling opportunities or stressful situations or needing to two putt from 30 feet away. And I think that's sort of the difference. But going into this Open, that's really the area I'm keying in on.
Okay, so this golf course is going to be really firm and it's going to be really fast. I mean, it's going to be a place that if you hit something low in the fairway, it's going to run 40, 50, 60 yards. The forecast is expected to stay that way throughout the week. Gust might get up to 20 miles an hour, but it's not going to be, you know, 40, 50 mile an hour gust, some crazy level of conditions around a golf course that, you know, if you find the fairway, you find the greens, everything is relatively flat in that department. Do you think that plays into Scottie's hands, or do you think that is something when you look at this golf course, you look at the field and you look at what he has done this year, you think that could be in theory a slight detriment to his opportunity to win another Open Championship?
Well, I still think he's the best ball striker in the world. And I think when you think of the firm and fast conditions that we've seen in Open Championships, I think the most recent iteration was probably 2018 at Carnoustie. And you look at the leaderboard that produced. Francesco Molinari was arguably the best player in the world going into that championship. You had Tiger Woods, you had Rory McIlroy, you had Justin Rose, Patrick Reed, all these high-level players, Xander Schauffele there as well. And so I think this generally is going to be a championship that the cream rises to the top and has an opportunity to separate because of those conditions. And Scottie Scheffler is pretty much the cream. And so I think I'm curious if these conditions and this golf course and how firm it is can almost unlock a little bit of creativity and artistry in Scheffler's game, where maybe he's not thinking so much about golf swing and he can just kind of go back to the basics. But I think these conditions are certainly right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, it feels like when open championships get this level of firm and dry, it feels like we typically get big time players winning. I mean, I think about the Doyle in the Sun. You go back and look at those images. I mean, that was Brown at Turnberry, and you get the two best golfers in the world going at it. And I mean, they distanced themselves from third place massively over the weekend. You know, I think about Hoylake and Tiger when he only hit one driver. Obviously, Tiger, you know, the height of his powers, but battling out with Sergio Garcia kind of in peak prime Sergio days as well. I mean, you know, you mentioned Carnoustie, obviously a very elite leaderboard, but I feel like when open championships get the level of firm we're about to see come Thursday, it typically plays into the hands of the better player versus maybe the randomness that we've seen this year at the major championships.
And you bring up randomness. There's just so many more variables for these guys to juggle at an open championship like this. You mentioned how the rollout of these drives, 50, 60, 70 yards, and knowing where you're going to land the ball and how far it's going to roll out. You bring in the wind. I know it's not supposed to be typical open championship 30, 40 mile per hour wind that some people want to see, but look, 15 mile per hour wind is still going to make you think, and it's going to switch throughout the day. It's going to switch throughout the tournament too. And there's just so much thinking to be done on every single shot, which, look, the best players in the world are the best at. That's why they've gotten there. And then you bring in the execution portion of it as well. And there's just so many boxes that these guys need to tick just to get themselves into the mix that it does lend itself for the best players in the world.
Yeah, this Justin Rose quote's been floating around on social, but I loved it. He said, I think as pros, we love to be prepared. Really, to answer your question, it's we love to be prepared as pros. I think ultimately at an open championship, your preparation needs to be you can't perfect something. Basically, the idea is play with creativity and play in the moment. Just play with a lot of flair in the moment. See a shot, bump and run. You might not have practiced it. You might not have hit that shot for a long, long time. But if you see it, go with it. I feel like the modern player, you know, we think about driving ranges these days when you go to pro events. I mean, everybody's looking at a TrackMan or a Foresight after every single shot. They're bringing them out on the golf course during practice rounds as well. And it feels like in this level of condition, it is a little bit more feel. And I wonder if that brings in a bit more veteran play in terms of a guy like a Justin Rose, a Patrick Reed, Rory, that level of player that, you know, it has seen both a very wet and soft open championship and has seen one that's going to play like this where, you know, we might see a 450-500 yard drive at some point this week.
And I'll be honest with you, I was looking at the top 20 price on Patty Harrington too, coming off the senior U.S.
What's
Open.
What's that number?
And it's 16-1 for him, which I felt was a little disrespectful for a guy who's won at this golf course before and has won recently. But where are you at with Scotty, Shane? Because I know you you were making your ways across the interwebs. I follow some data boys, and they're tweeting at you about your quote about Scottie Scheffler. But where are you going into the Open?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think my point about Scotty is that he has dipped in terms of the complete game. You know, I mean, I think that's where I was kind of leaning into is like the driver at times has not been as good as we've seen over the last few years. The iron play, and you brought it up and obviously had the numbers to back it up. Proximity not as good with the short irons. I feel like the slower the greens, the more short misses we see out of Scotty Scheffler, which typically is links golf and Open Championship golf. Again, with the winds not expected to be crazy in terms of gusty, you know, you might see a little bit faster greens, but Open Championship rota greens are always kind of in that 11-12 world. They're never going to get too much quicker than that. Do I think Scotty can win this Open Championship? Of course, I think Scotty can win any Open Championship. I think the biggest difference for me, and you and I've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is it's not that Scotty can't win. It's the fact that Scotty's not blowing fields out when he's playing great golf, right? I mean, he picks up that first victory to start the year. That's his lone win. The stats are still solid. It feels a little bit like Nelly last year on the PGA Tour, where she wasn't winning, but the stats still were very, very complete. I mean, for me and for Scotty as well, trying to get the win is the only thing he's really paying attention to. I thought his press conference today was really interesting. He goes into like real life talk a lot when he talks about golf and the future and everybody's going to die and this whole thing. It's like doomsday for our guy. You know, you want to be like, it's not that bad, Scotty Scheffler.
You got to watch out. That's when he's at his most dangerous, Shane, when he's thinking about the meaning of life and how much longer we have on this earth. I will say we want to talk about blowing away fields. 0 54 hole leads so far in 2026. Zero. I believe he had half a dozen last year and another four the year before. And we've talked about Scotty Scheffler being such a great leader from out in front and extending those leads on Sunday. Just always playing catch up, it seems right now.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, you know, we'll focus a lot on the opening round for Scotty Scheffler, see how he plays on Thursday. That was earlier in the season, a place he tripped himself up. But, you know, for me, it's kind of avoiding, I feel like with Scotty, we've seen a little bit of that Ludwig thing where, you know, you'll see the 4 or 5 hole stretch with Scotty where he's just kind of out of sorts. And I feel like that's new this year. It felt like something we might have seen 3 years ago, but not really the case over the last 2 or 3 years when he's been so dominant. And so for Scotty, I think getting off to that good start, I don't think the wave is going to be a big difference this year with the conditions in the forecast. I mean, you think about Open Championships, that morning afternoon wave, I feel like can be enormous. I mean, it can pick the winner or the loser a lot of the time. And I feel like with this forecast being kind of dry and not a lot of rain, the wind's potentially, you know, picking up in the afternoon, I feel like it's going to be relatively fair. I don't think somebody's going to get kicked in the teeth being on the wrong side of the wave. Obviously, that can change with the forecast getting into Thursday and Friday. But I feel like there's a potential for this being one of the more fair Open Championships than we've seen in a long time.
I'm not going to get into that after the PGA Championship misdiagnosis that everyone had at Aronimink.
That's a great point.
And the U.S. Open as well, where the final hour of the first round. Yeah, it has not been great. But you talk about the wave. What about the tee times and the games and the groupings? Because I don't know if the RNA has it out for Scotty Scheffler, but he might have to play with earmuffs on Thursday because he's got Bryson DeChambeau and Tyrrell Hatton next to him. Is it because he just threw the Claret jug in that random room in his house and didn't let it see the light of day, or what happened where Scotty Scheffler has to play with those two the first 2 days?
Can I say this? Scotty's been at times a little grumpy.
Yeah.
Maybe the grumpiness is just fitting into the group. We'll see if Bryson can finally make a cut, see if Tyrrell Hatton, who's been playing excellent golf, can potentially get that first major championship. But yeah, I mean, I think Scotty, maybe the grumpiness will rub off on him, or maybe his will rub off on them. But it was a very interesting grouping, to say the least, with Hatton, Bryson, and Scotty out of the gate. Well, let's take a break. Just getting going, prepping and preparing for the last men's major of the year. We're going to dive into the golf course and give you our picks, all that and more coming up on Scorecard. Back here on Scorecard, Patrick, before we dive a little bit deeper into some of the names, I have a golf question for you. So I've got golf on Monday planned. It's a tournament that I signed up for, two-man event coming up. So me and a friend of mine that's going to be my partner. Now, I got a text yesterday, an invite to play, let's call it a top three golf experience in the United States, probably on the Monday. Do I bail on my buddy, or do I stick to my plan, play in the tournament, and let the guy know maybe in the future I'm down to play there?
I think you play in the tournament and stick with your buddy. Stay to your word there. It's competitive, which is an added layer too, but man, that is tough. But I know you're kind of in the competitive flow right now.
Yeah, I feel like I'm with you, yeah. I mean, let me just say it's Fisher's Island is the golf course, which is a very good golf course and a good experience. But yeah, maybe down the road.
Future PGA Tour host. Yeah, you can play in a pro-am there.
They're going to have so many PGA Tour events there. They can stay at all the hotels on Fisher's Island. All right, let's dive a little deeper into some names. So we haven't touched on Rory. It feels like all year Rory's flown under the radar. Maybe it's because we haven't seen him that much, but you know, Rory was in the hunt in 2017 at the Open Championship here at Birkdale. Maybe not really with an opportunity to win, but he was floating around on Sunday, showed his shots from here to there. Obviously picks up the win at the Masters. Haven't seen him play excellent golf. He's played solid golf since then. What are your expectations this week with Rory after what you saw obviously last week at the Scottish?
I think generally whenever he tees it up, you got to like his chances. The open resume since the win in 2014 has been really good too. Kind of his entire major resume has coming out of COVID-19. I would say he's found a different gear and a different level of consistency. But we sort of talked about this on HQ earlier in the week, Shane, where there's just always one round, it seems like, in 2026 that has been his undoing. Even in the win at the Masters, he shot that 73 on Saturday. I think it's easy to forget that he set all sorts of records at the 36-hole mark in terms of margin of lead and all that stuff, and he made it a little bit more hairy than he had to. But 75 in round three at the Truist, 74 in round one at the PGA, 74 in round two at the Memorial, 73 over the weekend at U.S. Open, and then 73 we saw there at the Scottish Open. And you even go deeper into that, he's had a nine-hole score of 39 or higher in every single tournament since the Masters, which is very unlike Rory McIlroy. And when you think about major championships, you talked about with Scotty how there's this 5-6-hole stretch that maybe he looks a bit uninterested. There's always a two-hour stretch, maybe even longer for these guys, where you just got to claw your way to a score and piece something together, shoot one over on a nine-hole stretch where you don't have it. And right now it just seems like Rory's floor during that period is a bit lower than what we've seen.
Feels like this golf course isn't necessarily a bomber's delight style golf course either. I mean, you think about the winners at Birkdale and you kind of go through them. I mean, Arnie hit it pretty far in his prime. Johnny Miller plenty long in his prime as well. But, you know, you've got Trevino in there, Tom Watson, Ian Baker Finch, Marco Mira, you know, was a guy that hit it relatively straight, especially later in his career. Podrick, who was never the longest guy, really, until he approached the age of 50. And then Jordan Spieth. I mean, a lot of this is position play. Now, if you drive it long and straight, you're going to have an opportunity, obviously, to take advantage. But, you know, I think about Rory. He drove it great last week at the Scottish Open, but the irons, and he talked about it. He said he struggled in certain wins with the irons. And we saw some big misses, obviously, with the irons last week at the Scottish Open. I wonder what the prep is in terms of that. Is he going to pull a coat hanger out of the hotel and work on that on the range like Wyndham Clark? Who knows? But I feel like for Rory, if he drives it like we saw last week, he's inevitably going to be in the hunt because he's going to be 380, 400 down a lot of these fairways, and then obviously going to lean into the iron play, and hopefully he is figuring out what's been kind of the bugaboo for him with the irons this year.
So do you expect him to take a more aggressive approach off the tee, knowing that this rough, if you drop a cigarette, it's going to light on fire? It's super wispy. It's a lot thinner than I think a lot of people expected. Do you think he'll push the envelope, say, okay, I'll hit a wedge out of that instead of an 8-iron from the middle of the fairway a little bit further back?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I remember years ago, Vijay Singh played an Open Championship and through two rounds, he was last in the field in fairways hit and first in the fields in green and regulation. I feel like there's a level of that that could play with Rory. It's just, I think there's going to be some driving irons and maybe some three woods for McIlroy, like everybody else will face. But I do think with the dry conditions and the fact that the bottom of that, you know, fescue is not going to be as thick and not going to be as guessy for so many of the players, I do think the longer hitters are going to lean on the driver a little bit more. And, you know, for Rory, again, hit a boatload of fairways at the Renaissance Club. I think that of all the things he looks at after last week, that's got to be a real positive for him headed in, obviously, to this week in Birkdale. But I think the long hitters, like, just send it. And if you find fairways, you're going to have a huge advantage. And if you're slightly off, I think this rough isn't going to be as penal as we've seen in iterations past.
I think you're right. I was watching live from today. Alex Noren almost drove number two. You think about the new number five, Shane, and kind of that dogleg right. Guys are going to be taking that on as well, and maybe even nine potentially if the conditions are right, or another one just all on the outward nine. So seems like the long hitters always have an advantage no matter what. I just think with the conditions this week, it brings that player pool to a much higher number where you can get out to 400 in a multitude of ways.
Yeah, I mean, like a Russell Henley type will hit one 380 or 400 this week. I mean, yeah, it's just going to roll that much if you hit kind of that penetrating low spin type of driver that a lot of these guys like to hit with wind involved. Let's talk about the England pursuit, if you will, of this Open Championship. Are we 34 years in since the last time an Englishman has won this championship?
34, and there's only been one, Sir Nick Faldo, who's been, you know, making headlines, I gotta say, calling Bryson DeChambeau has zero strategy for Lynx golf. He's blowing up Rory's spot at Royal Birkdale weeks leading into, but yeah, Sir Nick has three, of course, and coincidentally, he won at the Old Course in the Mirfield in what was that, 90 and 92, and then in between was Birkdale in 91 that he wasn't able to win. I believe that was IBF's year.
Yeah, three of the top 10 players in the world, all from England. I mean, player of the year potential in Matt Fitzpatrick. I know we're going to get to picks later. He has just played excellent golf this year. I mean, so many people are leaning on the Scotty stats. When you bring up Scotty, Fitzpatrick's numbers, Patrick, are so crazy this year. I mean, he has been the most impressive player, in my opinion, with the ball striking. And around the greens, he's one of the best in the world this year as well.
Yeah, I think on PGA Tour stats for the year, as I mentioned, you can pull stats from any website or database. There's a million of them this day and age, and kind of just help your narrative. Fitzpatrick's number one in approach and number one in strokes gained around the green, and he kind of talked about in his press conference how he's used Royal Birkdale in the past as sort of a Lynx Golf tune-up for the Lynx Golf season, whether it's a Scottish Open or whatever Open Championship it is going into that year. And so you add that all together, you would think this guy would win this championship or at least give it a really good opportunity. Had a great chance last week at the Scottish, missed some short putts, and I would say outside of a month where he was trying to figure out the driver after cracking the head at the Truist Championship, the entirety of the bag has been in good order. So, like everyone else, Shane, I expect a really, really good effort this week from Fitz.
Yeah, second tee to green as well this season in terms of stats. A second, fourth, and T3 in three of his last four starts. In between all that was a 22nd at the U.S. Open. It wasn't like he played terrible at Shinnecock Hills. Just wasn't really in the mix. But he is playing as consistent of golf of anybody in the world. You mentioned Fitzy using this golf course in terms of prep. Tommy Fleetwood, a guy that knows this golf course as well as anybody.
Yeah, obviously the hometown kid, he's got the Tommy Fleetwood Academy. They got signs of Go Tommy and murals of him all over town. And man, I just think about support and how it can be a double-edged sword with someone coming back to your hometown. There's a ton of pressure as is for an Open Championship, the last major of the season. You don't get another crack until Augusta next April. That's a long time. There's a finality to this type of major. And then you bring it to your hometown, a golf course that you grew up wanting to play but weren't able to because of kind of the prestige around it. And someone like Fleetwood, who he's level-headed, yes, but they're going to be rooting for him so hard, and he's going to be wanting to win it for them so hard, where yes, he's in great form. Yes, he's a great Lynx golf player. Yes, he's all this stuff, but I'm so curious to see how he handles the emotions of all that, Shane.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, we talked so much about Spieth earlier this year in terms of is he close, and you and I were pretty high on this. It's like, he's not finishing third. You know, he was finishing 12th and 14th. And right now, you know, Fleetwood's playing consistent golf, but they're not top 10s. I mean, they're just outside the top 10. It's like almost really good golf from Tommy Fleetwood. And so for me, I think you nailed it. The interest will be, how do you handle the crowds? How do you handle the fans? And, you know, how do you go about a golf course that obviously you know well and you've snuck out on plenty of times in your life, especially as a youngster? Plenty of changes on the golf course we'll get to. But I think Tommy, I mean, obviously would be as much of a fan favorite here in terms of golf fans rooting for the guy to get it done. I'd also say Justin Rose fits that mold. You think about Rose back in 98, the amateur, the hole out, all that, and then all the miscuts once he turned pro. He's been so close in these majors. And, you know, I'm looking, Patrick, at kind of the upcoming lineup. I mean, Rose is going to have another crack at, let's say, three of these, maybe four of these, in terms of all the major championships. He turned 47 at the end of this month. He is playing that level of golf where he could win a major, but there's not many left in terms of how many times he's going to find himself in contention.
If Tommy's the 1A story, I think Rose is the 1B, and I think they're neck and neck, just given how full circle it could be if this guy coming out as an amateur in 98 is able to grab his second major championship at the same venue many moons ago. You know, it's probably a bit unfair that he gets all these questions at every single major championship, the age thing and how are you going to deal with it. But you have to understand them just because this guy's quality in the biggest events, three top 11s in the majors, add in the players, add in the memorial as well. I mean, he showed up at every big time event so far on the calendar, where you have to think that he's going to be able to do this again. if we want to look past, you know, into next year, Pebble Beach, which is going to be a good one for the U.S. Open. You think Lynx Golf and the Masters, maybe he'll have three cracks again. Who knows about PGA Frisco? Maybe some guys just don't turn up for that, whether, you know, physically or mentally or whatever. But I think Rose is the 1A storyline for me. I have such a soft spot for him. And I think the battle, we're kind of seeing this with Novak Djokovic in tennis, the battle of an elite athlete against time and against his body and against this young crop of players is probably the most compelling in all of sport.
How crazy is it that in 2026, after the last 2 years we've had in major championships, the storylines going into the final men's major of the year are Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose? I mean, Scotty's getting headlines, Rory's getting headlines, but I'm with you. I mean, I think those are the two most compelling potential storylines in terms of a winner that exist on this page. It's not Spieth, it's not JT, it's not Xander. I mean, go down the list of all the superstars in golf, and it's this dude that's never won a major and this guy that has one major that popped up at this golf course a long time ago, what, 2 years after Tiger turned pro. I mean, that is a complete generation ago when we saw Rose that with that hole out.
I think both of them have such big personalities too, in different ways. We like to poke fun with Team Rose and the extra drizzle and the MasterCard commercials and some of his funny posts on Twitter. And then Tommy's such a sweetheart, it seems like, where these guys are liked during the Ryder Cup pretty much, which is tough to do. You have American fans rooting them on, and so I think it only adds to that too. But they're not the only Englishmen, Shane. You talked about Tyrrell Hatton, and talk about the guy who has won a major championship from England, Aaron Rye as well, still playing some good golf.
Alex Fitzpatrick as well has obviously played some excellent golf this year. That would be a pretty cool story. I mean, just a lot of potential here. You know, a lot of names trying to win a major championship for the first time. And then, of course, we've got the storyline following Bryson around. Could he potentially miss all four cuts in a major, in all the majors this season? So I feel like there's like little nuggets around this Open Championship that are all very different. You know, if Bryson does miss the cut this week, I mean, you think about players that to do that as of late. Cam Smith did it last year. Nick Taylor in 2024. Sergio did it in 2018. Tyrrell Hatton in 2017. Doesn't happen a lot for the biggest names in golf. So I think a lot of focus will be on Bryson just to make it to Saturday, not potentially getting this win. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with contender or pretender. Is this person a real contender to win this Open Championship, or should you just disregard them, just scratch their name off, take them off your one and done league, and be done with them? We'll do that after the break. Back here on Scorecard, Patrick, I'm hearing from the audience they need more pyramid in their life, but no pyramid this week. No pyramid this week.
We all need the pyramid. I heard fellow media members are struggling with the food pyramid, with the offerings there in the media center across the pond. So out of solidarity, no pyramid this week.
We're not going to do pyramid, but we are going to do contender pretender headed into this final men's major of the year. Obviously, the Open Championship kicking off on Thursday. Groupings and tee times are out already. Some very interesting ones there, both in the fun department and the why did they pair this person with this person department as well. Always fun to break those down. But let's get into it. We've kind of got a column, if you will, of players that have won majors before, and then the ones that have looking for their first major, obviously not getting it done. There's some big names there. But we'll start here with Mr. John Rahm. Is he
Johnny Rumble?
Is he a pretender, Patrick, at this Open Championship?
Johnny Rumble's a contender, but I am. He has a short leash at the moment, just because he has played himself out of these tournaments early and often. I know he finished T2 there at the PGA Championship, a couple good PGA Championships in a row, but I would like to see him play himself into this one as well. Or else I think you have to consider the major championship season, Shane, as a little bit of a disappointment for someone like John Rahm and the expectations that we have of him. But as of now, as we stand here on Tuesday, I have Rumbo as a contender. What about you?
14 straight majors without a win. It's going to continue. John Rahm is a pretender. He's not winning this Open Championship. Game's not sharp enough. People are celebrating a top 30 or a top 40 last week.
I'll be looking at your mentions after this one.
he is not winning this thing. I kind of feel the same way about Xander. I just don't think Xander's game sharp enough right now. I have Xander in the pretender bucket as well. You think about where he was 2 years ago, most dominant player in the majors that year. He has not been good this year, Patrick.
Yeah, this pains me to say. I think he is going to finish T17 this week. Nothing more, nothing less out of the X-Man.
So does that mean pretender for you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, contender, you got to be top 10 at least. I don't think Xander does the top 10 this week.
And interesting enough, I kind of like Justin Thomas this week. I feel like JT has been improving a little bit off the tee. I'm going to say Justin Thomas contender. I'm going to go contender. It took me a second to get confident, but I'm now confident.
We're on opposite ends here. I think he's a pretender. I don't understand his Lynx Golf resume, because on paper, when you think about JT, it should be a game that translates to this, where you can maybe scale back a little bit, a lot of creativity, a lot of variation. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out. So I'm rolling pretender for JT.
Is this the you could say this about three of the majors with Justin Thomas? I mean, we say this every year around the Masters.
Yeah.
It feels the same.
Yeah, it's like Masters. He should be fantastic, except for 13, which he can never figure out. I guess he really could. He's a PGA merchant.
Justin Rose.
Contender. Come on. He's bringing it home, I think. One of the many Englishmen who has the chance.
I'm with you. I think Justin Rose has a real good opportunity. I think if nothing else, he's going to be around the lead on Sunday. At least I hope that is the case. Can we get the graphic back up so I can see who we haven't done or who we have done to this point?
What about Bobby McIntyre, Shane? Give me Bobby Mack.
Now you're going over to the no major side. Now we're jumping around.
Okay, fine. That's where you're the host. Go left.
No, I will say this. I think Bobby Mack is a contender. I think when I look at the players on the no major side, I'd probably have Bobby Mack maybe second on this list, behind Goddard up in terms of confidence going into this week. I think Bobby Mack has a real opportunity.
Wow. I'm with you. I would have him probably just rounding out the top five on the no major side, but I think he's a contender. I think a lot of people on that right side have a great chance to knock off the first this week.
Let's just go quick on the rest of the guys with major wins already. Colin Morikawa, great player earlier this season, has still said that the back's not great, but the results have been solid. Can he win this one?
Morikawa is a contender. Yes. How could he not be? He's won the Open, Shane. He's won the Open already. I like the conditions for him. And with how poor his short game has been, you know what shots he's very comfortable with around the green? The little bump and runs, the fairway woods, the putting, all that stuff. That'll play this week.
Colin Morikawa, Hamilton, maybe this week around Birkdale. We shall see. How about the winner the last time? Jordan Spieth.
No.
Where are you at with Jordan Spieth?
No, this is it bums me out. I've got him as a pretender. I've got Hideki as a pretender. There's only one contender left on the major championship list.
Reed.
And you know who it is. It's Patrick Reed. It's the Race to Dubai leader. Every time you go to the Open, you have to factor in the Race to Dubai leader, the DP World Tour's very own. It's P. I think these conditions are great for his game.
I'm with you. Pretender with Spieth, pretender with Brooks. Great first round, terrible second round last week. I'm out on Hideki as well. We've hit a couple in the no major category. I think you and I both have confidence in Fleetwood.
Yeah, I do, to finish inside the top 10. I'm concerned about the support, as backwards as that sounds.
Cameron Young, I feel like is I think a lot of people lean contender. I'm going to go the other way. I just haven't seen the level of play Cam Young showed us earlier this year.
I'm leaning pretender too, and maybe I'm reading too deep into it. I haven't heard anything from the grounds across the pond 5 hours ahead of us, Shane, but Cameron Young had his dad caddying for him in one of those open behind the scene videos where he was playing alongside Scottie Scheffler and Gary Woodland earlier in the week. And so I'm not sure. I would like to think Kyle Strabinski is across the pond with him, but that kind of just gave me a head scratch, I would say. But pretender.
Maybe the caddy food is similar to that in the media center. Is Sam Burns going to play, or are we 100% on Burns playing?
Burns is in. Speaking of me consuming too much content on social media, the DP World Tour did a fun little behind the scenes with Goddard up at the Scottish Open, and he's in the physio room with Scheffler. Scheffler said that the Burnses had their kid. He was unsure if he made his way over, but he did. There's photos out of it. And a fun added wrinkle to that is Scotty said he brought his Breville over, the coffee machine, and try to plug it in and just took the power out of his entire rental house at the Scottish Open.
Can't do that.
It was just a bad week overall for the world number one. But
it's like if you travel abroad with a blow dryer, like it's gonna burn out the moment you plug it in. It's got no chance to continue.
Yeah, that's like, Scotty, you're 30. You can't be making that decision anymore. You can't be making those mistakes. You're a well-traveled man.
Patrick, can I say this about Scotty Scheffler? Does he need to just no kitchen? Like, it seems like every kitchen plan, everything he does in the kitchen, like, you don't need me to be in there. Like, not the fact that we don't need you cooking and cutting your hand or blowing out coffee machines, but I don't even need you in the room anymore. Like, it seems like it's all disaster.
There is such an Uber Eats sponsorship opportunity right there for Scotty Scheffler that Blake Smith, come on, like, let's start doing it, my man.
Come on, Blake, get it together.
Where he's got an easy route for some extra coin, which we all know Scotty Scheffler needs. But I've got Burns as a pretender coming off the berth. I think that's tough.
I'm with you as well. I got Ludwig as a pretender. I'd love to see him get it done. Just don't feel like this is going to be the week. Just have not seen that level of consistency from Ludwig. The results have been fine, but I feel like getting in the real hunt on a Sunday is something that he hasn't handled great this year.
I'm curious to see him on this style of golf where, it's not so much point and shoot. You really got to think your way through. I don't think we've seen him on a test like this before. Maybe Pinehurst number two, and he was the 36-hole leader there, which is positive. But I'm with you. I'm out on Ludd this week.
We both like Victor. I think contender for the both of us with Hovland. He's been playing great as of late. Mentioned Bobby Mack. I love Russell Henley as well. I know you're a big Henley guy. Leading the PGA Tour in driving accuracy this year in fairways hit. I just think that stat's going to play great this week.
I'm with you. The open resume has improved drastically, kind of like the major championship resume these past couple of years, back-to-back top 10 finishes. And I might shock you on the last one, Shane. Patrick Cantlay is going to be a contender. He is going slither his way. Oh, that's boring.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's going to slither his way into contention this week one way or another.
I feel it as well. All right, I got three more for you quickly. Bryson.
Pretender, but he makes the cut.
I'm with you. Pretender, but he makes the cut. I don't think he's going to miss all four. Rory.
Rory is contender. Gritting my teeth, though.
I think he's a contender as well. I think Rory is in the mix. I don't think he gets it done. Scotty, I'm not so high on. I think Scotty is, and I'll say it, at this Open Championship, put him under the pretender box for me.
I'll be scrolling through your mentions after the social team clips that one, puts it on. And so I'm pumped for you, man. I'm excited for you. But I think Scotty Scheffler might win this week, which everyone doubting him.
What are you going out on a limb?
Yeah.
You might.
Look, you're going out on a limb. I'm going out on a limb, right? We both have to.
Number one golfer in the world might win.
I think he might win.
I might get it done. All right. Well, that was pretender and contender. Call us an idiot if you want on social. Won't be the first. Won't be the last. We're going to take a break. We got to hit on the golf course and some of the changes. And then we actually have to give out our picks. They are not the names that we just mentioned, but they are within that kind of ecosystem of contender, pretender. That all coming your way. We are back. Shane Patrick, Royal Birkdale, Open Championship this week. We wrap it all up right here, Patrick. Give us what we need to know about Birkdale and the changes, what it'll be different in terms of what we saw in 17 and obviously getting an opportunity to see here in 2026.
Plenty of big changes, like you mentioned. I think on the front nine, there are two big ones. You got the par four fifth, which I think many players are going to attempt to drive. It was a pretty... not unappealing, but just kind of meh type of hole when you look at the flyover. And they've added plenty of bunkers along the right side. Very pleasing visually to it, and a nice drivable hole early in the round. Because if you remember, Shane, a lot of only two par fives on this golf course, both in the last final five holes of this course. And then par three, seventh, they've shifted the tee box about 45 yards. It's a completely different hole. Still a short par three. They shortened it to now like 150 yards. They have that donut bunker everyone's going to be talking about. And then on the back nine, talk about changes. Everyone likes to talk about 13 with Jordan Spieth. They moved the dune line a little bit. I believe it's now like outbounds right, or you can't hit where he hit. It's a poor pocket.
Like that doesn't exist really anymore. Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore. And then you go to 14. If you remember, he had a laser six iron there, calls it the best shot of his career. Well, guess what? It's not a par three. It's now a par five, believe it or not. Long hole, 600 yards. So have fun with that. Speaking of par threes though, we need one of those. Completely new hole, the par three 15th.
Well, Patrick's take's a little too hot there. I was actually going to ask Patrick about...
On the golf course, Shane, is number 15, and if it does play...
See, he's popping in and out. He's still giving out his takes, even with the mediocre internet connection. But he was talking about the 15th, 240, really long par 3. What's going to be interesting is I feel like the 15th, with what the forecast is predicting, who knows if that can change or not, but that is a par 3 that will likely be playing into the wind most of the week. So you think about 240 for these players, you're going to see 3 woods, 5 woods, 7 woods, driving irons, that type of club, and the head cover pulled out. But as Patrick mentioned about this golf course, the par 5s come late, 14 and 17 of the par 5. So you play 13 holes. Yeah, I mean, you have not seen a par 5 yet on the golf course, which is really interesting. You think about needing a birdie or an eagle or trying to get your round going after a slow start, those scoring holes, in theory, both come very late in the round. But, you know, it's a golf course that has just produced drama. It feels like every time the Open has been there, even with the changes, I feel like Birkdale's going to feel very similar. And I think it's going to be an awesome test. I think the players love it. I think fans love it. Obviously, the locals are really into it. Patrick, you're back. What is your favorite donut? What's your go-to donut?
Oh, wow. I will say I apologize for leaving. The RNA was probably pulling me off the air because I was lambasting the new 15th hole and kind of what's going on there. But favorite donut as a kid, Boston cream, but I'm pretty simple. Kind of, I like the double chocolate.
Okay. As I've gotten older, I go glazed. I feel like I just kind of go old school OG. A good glaze, it's like a good cheese pizza. You don't need to move away from kind of the OG. But we're going to take a break. We got a couple minutes left in the show. So after the break, we will actually give out our official picks. Will it be Scottie Scheffler? It's not going to be for me. Might be for Patrick. Or will it be Justin Rose getting that amazing second major victory at the age of 46? We shall see. We'll be back with picks after the break. It's likely your favorite major, your second favorite major. That is what the Open Championship is. It's on early if you're in the U.S. Great viewing, different golf, going to be firm, going to be fast. Patrick, it is time for our official picks. Let's start with who's not winning this week at the Open Championship.
I'm taking the low-hanging fruit with Ludd and Cam Young off the highs they had in the spring. And then this one pains me, a Truette Brute situation. Xander Schauffele is not going to win the Open Championship.
Don't think he is either. Didn't even put him on my list. I got Bryson. I got Rahm. I have Rory here, but I think I'm going to say Scotty officially not winning instead of Rory there. So I'll go Bryson, Rahm, and Scotty just because I did say he was a pretender earlier. So if those guys aren't winning, Patrick, who is going to win?
So I went a little off the board for this list. I went Bobby Mack. I went Patrick Reed, and a name no one has mentioned, Shane Lowry. Iron play has really started to improve in good links golf. Obviously, getting across the finish line is tough, but the ultimate winner, it's coming home, Shane. Matt Fitzpatrick is your Open Championship winner.
First English winner since 1992. Congrats on Fitzy on Player of the Year as well. I got him on my can win list. I got Justin Rose there as well. My official pick is going to be a guy you and I are both very high on, driving it so much better. Victor Hovland, let's row your way to the Claret Jug. I know they couldn't get it done in the World Cup. It's coming home at the Open Championship. We'll be back on Tuesday to wrap it all up. And then after the Open Championship, a look at the remainder of the PGA Tour season. Excited for some coffee golf. Get fired up for Thursday morning.
Paramount Podcasts.